This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm not gonna hide it under a bushel, oh no. I'm gonna let it shine. I'm not gonna hide it under a bushel, oh no. I'm gonna let it shine. I'm not gonna hide it under a bushel, oh no. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm not gonna let anyone blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I'm not gonna let anyone blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I'm not gonna let anyone blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine.
Amen.
I'm gonna let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Amen.
I'm going to sing a little sing-along song here today, and I'm going to ask for y'all's help, because I need all the help I can get. And this one is called When the Saints Go Marching In. And when I sing the chorus, I'd like for y'all to join in with me.
Amen.
Like I said, I need all the help I can get. I am just a weary pilgrim, plodding through this world of sin, getting ready for that city when the saints go marching in. Sing it with me. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. My father loved the Savior, what a soldier he had been, but his steps will be more steady when the saints go marching in. Sing it with me. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And mother, may God bless her, I can see her now as then, with a robe of white around her, when the saints go marching in. Sing it with me. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, the Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Up there I'll see my Jesus, who redeemed my soul from sin. With extended hands he'll greet me when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Amen.
That made me feel like I was down in Louisiana with Brother Paul.
There you go.
All right, now, my beloved, if you have your sword, I would invite you to turn your old King James Bible open to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Book of Joshua, chapter 24. Let's go down a little bit on number 2, please. Thank you. And also number 4. Now, beloved, I covet your prayers. In my lifetime of almost, well, I was ordained into the ministry here in 2001. And since that time, I have preached, I believe, 3 revivals. And I know that in my heart, man cannot bring revival.
Right.
So whether it's me or Paul or Brian or Van or Harold Seitler or Billy Graham, whoever it might be, whoever it is that stands behind the sacred desk and preaches, they've got to be anointed by the Lord.
Amen.
They've got to have the Word of God, and we've got to have one focus and one aim, and that is revival of our hearts. Now, a lot of times people think, well, when we have revival, you know, lost people are going to get saved and things of that nature. Well, that can happen, and I pray it will happen, but, beloved, revival is for the saved, because you can't be revived unless you've been vived to begin with. So you got to be born again. Specifically, revival is for the backsliders. Revival is for those that don't make church a priority, don't make God a priority. You're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but you don't read your Bible like you should. You don't pray like you should. You don't go to church like you should. And so revival is just for that kind of folk. And guess what? I'm one of them. I need it too.
Amen.
We all need it, beloved. But here's the thing. The choice is yours. And that's the title of this sermon this morning. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 and 16. If you have your place there, please say amen.
Amen.
All right, now if you're able to stand, I know sometimes them bones don't want to work like that, but if you can stand in reverence to God's word, stand with me. And let's read these together, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 and 16. It says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Amen to that. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I humbly ask, Lord, that you'll hide me behind the old rugged cross. Allow me, Father, to get so small that no one will even be able to see me, but they'll see Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, that my mouth will not speak Craig's word, but that they will speak the word of the living God. Lord God, that's what we're here for this morning. Lord, we're not here to hear Paul. We're not here to hear me. We're here to hear you. And so, Father, open our hearts. Lord, Father, if there be one today that ain't saved, Father, I pray you'll save them out of a devil's hell. Lord, if there's some that are not completely right with you, Lord, I pray you'll just make them so uncomfortable, drag them around, twist them up inside and out, Lord, till they'll have to run down to the altar, or at least run to you to make it right with thee. Father, we thank you for these that are here today. It is not a coincidence. Lord, it's not a mistake. It is a divine appointment that we are all here today. Father, go with us now. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, you know what's happening here. The children of Israel have went through the wandering of the wilderness for over 40 years. They just got done fighting a seven-year war of deliverance, and so now the land's been divvied up. Joshua's about to die, and he's giving them some final orders, and he's telling them that you need to make a choice of who you're going to serve. They've been in the land for a few years already, and already some of the people are already beginning to turn to other gods. And he's telling them, if you want to serve those gods, you go right ahead. But he said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So here's the thing. First of all, notice what he says there back in verse 15. He says, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord. Now what does that mean? If it seem irksome, if it seems troublesome, if it seems a burden, if it seems a weariness, if it seems not a pleasure and not a delight. You know, that's what some people think about church. That's what some people think about salvation. They think, well, if I get saved, then I won't be able to have any fun anymore. Well, you've never played Monopoly with me and my family. My goodness. Folks, I'm telling you, you've never hung out with a group of Christians like us men will. Don't forget that, men. We got our men's fellowship in tomorrow at 11 over at Fujiyama. You never sat around the table and heard David tell some stories and Mark tell some stories. And, oh, my goodness, we just have a wonderful old time.
Amen.
So some people get this notion in their head that, well, if you're a Christian, you're just an old stick in the mud and you ain't going to have no fun at all. And, oh, you know, that'll do nothing fun. You never did. Some of you never saw Brother Rex Dale.
Right.
Oh, my God. Woo! He give me a run for my money. Woo! Glory, you know. And that's the thing. You just got to get with it. You got to get your heart in where God is. Some of you sit here inside the church pew and you think church is the most boring thing in the world. That you are here and you don't really want to be here, but you're here because God or somebody else made you be here or somebody drug you here. Well, in that case, I love drugs. My mom and daddy drugged me to church. So I'm glad I got drugged to church. You know, yeah, man. So you see, folks, that's the thing. But see, when you get a little older, the choice is up to you. The choice is yours. You have to make that conscious effort and that conscious decision of what you're going to do, especially about Jesus. See, he's saying, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord. I mean, guys, you can compare Jesus with the law. There's no candle. I've met people, guys, in this county, people that once I used to go to school with. And one of them who came and visited the church years ago, and he said, I want to talk about salvation. I said, all right, come on back. And we talked about it. He says, so all I got to do is follow the Ten Commandments. I said, you're absolutely wrong. He said, well, I need to follow the Ten Commandments. I said, Jesus boiled all that down into two commandments. I said, you can't follow the law. And by the way, if you're going to try to follow the law to get saved, you're missing 603 other ones. He said, what? Yeah. There's 613 commandments in the Old Testament. If you're going to follow the law to get to heaven, there's 613 of them. And by the way, the New Testament says if you break one of them, if you offend in one, you broke all of them. You're guilty of all of them. So the law's there to show us, as the Apostle Paul said, that nobody can get saved by the law. It's a school teacher. It's a schoolmaster. People say, well, I'm glad I got out of school. I ain't got to go to school no more. Well, guys, that law's there hitting people in the face upside and down the other, telling them, screaming at them, you cannot keep the law. You can't keep the Ten Commandments and go to heaven. If that were the case, why in the world did Jesus come down here and go to the cross on Calvary? People say, well, I don't like Christianity. I'm going to be a Muslim. Really? Allah and God have nothing in common at all. I mean, a God over there who tells you to kill others and be killed for him. Our God says, let your life die for me, but you go on living and let me live through you. So you can show Jesus to a lost and dying world. And then you got people out there, preachers and cult leaders, like Jane Whaley up the road, trying to snow all them people into thinking that they're going to be a good word of faith or a good woofer and turn their children and everything else over to that cult and think they're going to go to heaven. I got news for them. They're barking up the wrong tree. Because if Jesus ain't what it's all about, God, it's a hill of bean and it ain't worth nothing. It'll send the soul straight into the pit of hell.
Right. Amen.
No, you can't hold a candle to Jesus. It is a blessing. It is not evil. It doesn't seem evil to serve Jesus Christ. Guys, he bought heaven for you. He says, here it is. No strings attached. If you believe on me, you'll go to heaven. But yet you still got morons out there that are trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to baptize themselves into heaven. They're trying to do everything they can and work their way to heaven. You can't work it to heaven.
Amen.
He says what? By faith are you saved through grace. Salvation is the gift of God. Right? Lest any man should boast. So Catholics are not going to get to heaven by kissing the Pope's big toe or his big ring. And you ain't going to get to heaven either by kissing my hind end. Or brown-nosing the preacher. It don't work that way. Faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus is saying in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the choice is yours to get saved. You can't die and go to hell and then turn around and blame God. Because everywhere you were to look, right out there, no man made them trees.
That's right.
No man made them clouds. No man made that sun out pretty flowers. God made it all.
Amen.
It's just like if I were to go down for a walk inside the wood, I can go right near my house, the parsonage down there, and see a picnic table. And what does that tell me? That picnic table didn't grow out of that ground. That picnic table was made by somebody, and it was put there. The same thing when I look at all of you. You're not the result of a cosmic birth, some 8 billion or whatever now they've got in the books, million or billion years ago. You are the product of God. You have a design about you. You are here because the Creator made you and put you here. And you are never, you should never be told you're a mistake, because you're not. God has a plan and a purpose for you. But you know, you still got born again people, children of God, that think, well, this is a chore, this is a burden, this is something I really don't want to have to do this morning. Folks, we need to get with it. It's your choice. And what Joshua is telling the people, if it seems evil to you, if it seems a burden, if it seems a weariness, if it seems not a pleasure and not a delight to you to serve God, then choose today who you're going to serve. And that's it. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Number two, the choice is yours whom you're going to serve. Some say they found a better master, whose service will be more pleasant, more profitable. Jesus says this in Matthew 6, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And folks, you've got Christians out there every week trying to straddle the fence, trying to go do their time at church. You make it sound like a prison. Just go through the motions. And that's usually what happens. When you think you're doing your time at church, all you're going to do in your life is just go through the motions. You're going to stand up and you're going to, like clockwork, open up. Amazing grace, how great. And it don't mean nothing to you. And then you go to church. And then you expect, well, the preacher's going to get up and rant and rave for however long he does. Long-winded thing. And then the food's going to be cold. And then the ball game's going to be on. And it's just puts a crank and crap in my style. You're going to choose who you're going to serve. If your heart ain't here this morning and it's 100 miles away on the beach or in front of the boob tube, wherever it is, you're already choosing. You've already chosen in your heart who you're going to serve. When we come inside these walls of this sanctuary, we've got to have our mind on one man, our eyes on one man, not this one, not that one, not on the kid, not on me, not on each other, on Jesus. Because he's who it's all about.
Yep.
He's our master. He's the one in charge. Well, I don't like that word master. It makes me offended. Well, guess what? I am a slave of Jesus Christ. And bless God, I don't want to be emancipated. I tried things on my own. I still goof up and mess up. You know what? Jesus is the best one for me. He gives my next breath. He gives me my next heartbeat. He gives me my next brainwave, however crazy that is. He gives me everything I need. So the choice is yours to get saved. Or, number two, the choice is yours to whom you're going to serve. Number three, the choice is yours to be sinful. Think about it. He says, whether the gods your father served that were on the other side of the flood, that's the Jordan River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Let me remind you about Galatians chapter 1. He says, Paul says in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at all Jesus Christ has done for you. And now look at what all you have done for him. How many hours have I wasted? How many years? I was saved July 1st, 1991 as a 9-year-old boy. My family and I got out of church. And then we came here. Come on, honey. Come on. That's it. Amen. You know? And then what happens? God calls me to preach. We join here at Daniel Town. I get dunked in water. I get baptized. And then the next Sunday, for 4 weeks, I lay out of church. And here I am called to preach the Word of God. Nobody put a gun to my head and told me to do these things. And how many times have I needed to read and study my Bible, but yet I was doing this or I was doing that. Or I made excuse after excuse, and told God, no, I didn't feel like it that day. No, I knew too much. Oh, you proud, arrogant, you know what? Yeah. I told God I didn't need to. Oh, so just go on about 3 or 4 or 5 days without eating. See how you do then. No, you can't do what Flip Wilson said. The devil made me do it. Really? No. No, you can't say that. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So you can't stand before God and say, well, Preacher Craig didn't preach enough to me. You can't say that Preacher Paul didn't preach hard enough to you. You can't go and say that the Sunday school teacher didn't dig deep enough for you. You can't say, well, we didn't make it enough to church like we thought we should have, but, you know, this and that and the other. But you know what really gets me, guys, sometimes? Is that we come up with this idea, somebody pops up in your life and say, hey, I got 2 tickets to a concert, or hey, I got an entry pass to the Renaissance Fair, or to the bookstore, or something. Or they call you up and say, hey, I'm going out to the mall. You want to go? Yeah, I'll go. But then they say, well, we're going to have revival. And they announce it for a month or two. And then, oh, looky what I got to do. Oh, I can't plan that far ahead. That is a lie out of hell. You do what you want to do. Same as me. So don't stand before God and say, well, so-and-so made me do this, and I had to do that, and my mama made me eat Brussels sprouts, and I just couldn't bear with it. You know, no. You can't blame anybody else but yourself. And every one of us here is going to answer to God. Because when he saved us, and we were saved to serve him, and we wound up not serving him, you and I are going to answer for all of that we did not do for him. Don't think just because you got born again, you can live your life wherever the way you want to. No, you are saved to serve God. And when we don't serve God, judgment day is coming. Amen. You wonder why your life has gone to pits and hell in a handbasket? How long have you been saved and how long have you not been serving God? Got quiet. What is it Paul says, David? Don't get quiet on me now. Guys, I'm preaching to me too. I ain't shearing the sheep. I'm just telling you like it is. Why? Because I love you. It ain't because I'm way up here looking down my little long nose at you. I love you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And for some reason, God called me to be pastor of this church. And next year, God willing, if you don't call me home or y'all don't boot me out or I run y'all off in one of them ways, I'll be here 14 years. People say, well, why do you, everything's about church? Because it's my life. Well, yeah, you're the preacher. It's supposed to be your life. That's what you pay your salary for. No. With or without salary, with or without money, with or without popularity, with or without a name. He called me to do this. Amen. And, newsflash, he called you to be a Christian. And a Christian is an imitator of Jesus. Amen. People say, oh, the sin and evil and everything is so bad. Does not the Bible say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world?
Right.
I tell you what the problem is. It's a bunch of lazy bones Christian. Amen. Not living for Jesus every day. It ain't enough to be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night Christian. No, we've got to let Jesus shine every single day. Well, I can't do that, preacher. You know what? Neither can I. But there's another verse. What is it, Daddy? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. But you see, the choice is ours, whether we follow him or not. He says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. So some of you will sit in the pew and you'll look over at this one and judge that person. And some of you will sit in this pew and look at this person and judge that person. And some of you might even look at me and judge me. And I may look at you and judge you. But here he says, don't judge each other anymore. Let each man judge himself. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In other words, think about your brother more than you do yourself. But too many times in America, what is it all about? It's your way. It's your way. What makes you happy? No. It's his way and what makes him happy.
Yeah.
So number one, the choice is yours to get saved. Or number two, the choice is yours whom you're going to serve. Number three, the choice is yours to be sinful. Or number four, the choice is yours to be steadfast. And Joshua wraps it up saying what? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's the resolution of Joshua. And so far as he knew the sense of his family or had influence over it, he could and did speak for them. Listen to that, daddies. As for me and my family. Single moms, listen to that. As for me and my family. Moms and dads together, listen to that. As for me and my house, let's put it in there, as me and our house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
You see, my mama made a mistake. She came to me right after the Sunday I got baptized, and the following Sunday morning she said, son, you going to church this morning? Well, wait a minute. When did it become the child's prerogative to choose whether or not he or she is going to the house of God? Huh? Huh? I thought you were in charge, mama. I thought you were in charge, daddy.
Oh, but I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to read my Bible. It's just too much.
It don't matter. You're saved not to serve yourself, and you're here. You have a right and authority over those children that soon are going out into this sinful, wicked, abominable world, and they spend all kind of days in a schoolhouse that is satanic, socialistic, communistic, and just plain out wicked and sinful and evil. And then we come to church maybe 1 hour a week and spend no time in the house of God, no time inside the Word of God, and suddenly we think they're going to what? Serve the Lord, live for Jesus, and do all these things for Him? Huh? It ain't going to work that way. Just because I happen to stand in Chris Robbins' mechanic shop does not automatically turn me into an auto mechanic. And just because you sit in this church for an hour doesn't automatically going to guarantee you're going to do everything God's will and God's way.
Amen.
You say, where did this come from? It's called digging in the Word of God. It's called begging God for a revival. I can't preach it. I can't bring it, but He can. But if you want, the choice is yours. Far too many of us, we serve other masters like Facebook and debt and self and food. Romans 16:18 says, for they are such, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. There's tons and tons of preachers out there that sound good. They may look good. Their words may sound good, right, Eduardo? But you know what? They're just pulling the wool over everybody's eyes. You know, like Kenneth Copeland. Oh, you better not preach about that man. My grandma listened to that man. I don't care what your grandma listened to. If that man is preaching spouts out of hell, he's a false prophet, and you need to be the wiser. Well, I'm offended. Well, guess what? There's 1, 2, 3 doors. Pick one. You want to go somewhere? Where? In the society today and too many churches today. People go to church and then just get their head patted. Oh, we love you. Now put your money in. Oh, we love you. Just put your money in. You say, you preach too hard. I preach because I love the family of God. And when I preach to you, guess what, honey child? I've already got it before. Matthew 4:10 says, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. This is not a thing about I'm gonna serve me now, and then me later, or Jesus now, and then me later. No, he says, you should only serve one. And it's your choice. Now you can decide now whether or not you're going to make it to revival. It's your choice. You say, well, I got to work. Fine, you got to work. Nobody's going to argue otherwise. If somebody throws a stone at you because you got to work, then I'll tell me and I'll go have a little chit-chat with them, a little Jesus meeting with them. Because why? We're not to judge one another. You got to work to provide for your family. That's understandable. But if you're at home sipping a martini and your feet propped up and watching Days of Our Lives, that's going to burn in hell. I'm telling you, you're able to see at night, you're able to drive at night and all that stuff, and you're healthy and, I don't know, wealthy, but you're wise, you'll find your way to the house of God. Oh, it's Brother Craig preaching. It don't matter. I don't care who's preaching. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer might be preaching. But if he's preaching the Word of God, then I'm going to be here.
Well, you're the preacher. You got him here.
No, I don't. I might let somebody else say, okay, I don't have to be there. I choose to be here. Because God tells me not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I want to see y'all. I want to be with y'all. I love my church family. But more than y'all and more than Heather, I love my Jesus. Because Jesus did for me what y'all and what she and what he and what mama could never do for me. He saved my rotten, stinking, filthy, wretched soul from hell. And I owe him everything I am. I owe him everything I have. Because he didn't have to call me to preach. He didn't have to put me here at this pastor. He didn't have to give me a beautiful wife. He didn't have to give me a house to live in, a car to drive. He didn't have to do none of that. And all that he has done for me, the least I can do is to say, here I am. Whatever you want, I'll do.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
But the choice is yours. If you want revival, you can get it. It's up to you, though. If you want it, it's there. So, David, come on, brother. Now, tonight, we're going to be looking at where's the salt. He says, salt. Well, there's two salt shakers on the table. Yeah, it means you can go ahead and start thinking about food now. You got the spiritual main dish out of the way. Now we look at the physical part. Yum, yum. And yes, we are Baptists, and yes, we like to eat. So we'll make sure there's a bowl left for you somewhere. Now, but before that, God's speaking to your heart, whether it be salvation, whether it be getting right with God, whatever it might be. If God's speaking to your heart in some way, shape, or form, then the time here is to come to the altar. You don't have to tell me a thing, or you can pray right where you sit. But we would love to celebrate your choice together. So as all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, if God's speaking to you now, would you come? God's speaking to your heart about something. You need to get something right with God. Come.